February 19th, Monitor brings you news, sports, features, people. One of the people you'll meet this half hour, Gennaro Luis Vitaliano, one of the most successful singers in the pop music field. You know him better as Jerry Vale. He's our guest 2 minutes from now. I am your host at this very moment. I know me somewhat better as Henry Morgan. A new number by the Tijuana Brass, Wade in the Water.
Agent 00 Breck has a suds balm for you. But you don't have to duck. It's only shampoo. And so gentle to hair that the whole family will be looking just swell. Try it, you'll see. That big sudsy balm is Breck Concentrate. What a shampoo. It makes you feel great. In each plastic tube at a price that's quite low is Breck quality for a gal or her beau. Just a dab of shampoo, some water, then wow, Breck Concentrate lathers up with a pow. A balm full of suds is a feeling that's great with the gentle power of Breck Concentrate.
Jerry Vale first sang for paying customers when he was 11. Customers weren't paying to hear him sing. They were paying to get shoes shined, which is what he was doing after school in the Bronx. And in about 10 years, the young Italian boy was singing in nightclubs and then was discovered by Mitch Miller. Some of his best-selling hits have been Dommage, Dommage, Arrivederci Roma, This Is My Beloved, and Cape Cod. Jerry Vale talked about his career with Monitor reporter Joe O'Grady.
Jerry, the public is understanding of the million record seller. That gold record seems to mean something to the public. But for a performer, what does a record have to have by way of sales before it's good both promotionally and financially?
Well, I would say that a sale of about 75 to 100,000 would probably be a good sale in terms of play, keeping the name of the artist alive. I think that would be considered a hit song today.
What does it mean in terms of money, Jerry?
Well, it means it doesn't mean too much as far as royalties are concerned, but it means a lot as far as your personal appearances are concerned. You create a demand in nightclubs and television and so on.
Jerry, when you're on the nightclub floor, and I know your kind of an act wouldn't be one that would be likely to have hecklers, but how does a performer take care of a situation like that?
Well, that varies. You know, certain things happen at certain times. You never know what you're going to say. There are times when you can just overlook it, and there are other times when you can't get a word out. You know, you try to talk, and someone in the audience will step on all of your lines, and you try to be nice about it for a while, and you laugh it off, and finally just have to say, well, you know, I usually say, let's play a game. Whoever has the microphone will talk. And that gets a laugh, and everything's okay again.
The audience, of course, would naturally be on your side against the heckler in most cases.
Well, I would say so, especially if the audience has paid good money to see an artist. If an audience goes out to see their favorite and they spend a lot of money to sit down and watch them, I think they're going to be just as disturbed as the artist if someone is disrupting the show.
Jerry, as a top artist, both in nightclubs and on records, you have made what most people would consider a lot of money. What has this money brought for you that you've always wanted all your life, going back to your ambitions as a neophyte singer?
Well, money has gotten me the material things in life. I own a house, I have a couple of cars, but the most important things in my life I didn't get because of the money. I have a lovely wife, I'm very happily married, I have a beautiful little boy who is 2 years, 8 months. These are things that money can't buy. So those are things that are very, very important to a guy like myself. The money, of course, is wonderful. Let's face it, I'm, you know, the first guy in the world that would like to make a lot of money and keep a lot of it. But the important things in life are to be happy in what you're doing and to have a good family. And I think I'm lucky in that respect.
Jerry, one further question. There seems to be a trend of performers going into politics. Do you see anything like that in the crystal ball for Jerry Vale?
No, I don't. I don't have any aspirations to be a politician. First of all, I don't know too much about it. You know, I try to be a good citizen. I try to vote. I always hope that I vote for the right man and hope that whatever choice I've made turns out to be the right one. But I don't think I'll ever be a politician.
One thing for sure, Jerry Vale, the fans have voted for you as one of their favorite male singers, and I'm sure they'll be continuing to do that for many years to come as long as you sing as well as you do now.
I thank you very much, and I hope that I keep singing as well as I do now. Thank you.
This is Joe O'Grady for Monitor.
Well, he'll keep singing as long as we have it here on tape. Pretty good. The number is, Have You Seen the One I Love Go By?
She left me for a stranger. And fancy words did change her. I told her he'd leave her broken hearted. I told her I'd find her when they parted. Back so gladly. Have you seen the one I love so by?
like the way it tastes.
I agree. There's nothing like a lark.
Lark has a good, easy taste.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
I think they're the nicest cigarette there is.
Right. There's nothing like a lark.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
At 19 minutes past the hour, you are on the Monitor Beacon.
Presenting the Wynn Oil Company Chorale under the direction of John Philip Azusa. Now, speaking for the Wynn Oil Company, Mr. Keenan Wynn.
Thank you. This is Keenan Wynn. It has come to my attention that many of you still think I'm related to the Wynn Oil Company people of Azusa. We do spell our name the same way, W-Y-N-N. But the relationship ends there. In other words, I want to assure you that I didn't get this job because I'm a cousin or a nephew. I did get the job because I know Wynn's products. I've used them, and they're good. At your service station, ask for Wynn's famous friction proofing, Wynn's engine tune-up, Wynn's new charge, and many more. All designed to keep your car going strong by the Wynn Oil Company of Azusa.
Azusa, Azusa, California.
Now, Monitor Sports. On February 8th, in Atlantic waters off the coast of Fort Lauderdale, a 32-year-old Navy diving instructor and submariner named Robert A. Croft completed an almost superhuman feat of physical strength and endurance. Using only a nose clip, Croft made a free dive of better than 35 fathoms, erasing a mark that had been on the books for 54 years. Monitor reporter Bill McCord has the story.
Bob, what prompted you to free dive a record 212 feet 7 inches anyway?
Well, I'm not real sure myself. I guess it's like Hillary in the mountain, you know, it was there, and I thought I'd like to try it. I knew from physiologists that I could go quite deep in this type of a dive, and I was very curious as to how far I could go.
How do you account for the fact, Bob, that the old mark established by a Greek sailor way back in 1913 stayed on the books so long?
Well, my lung capacity is very abnormal, and evidently this Greek fellow's lung capacity was also very abnormal, and the number of people in the world that can go this deep in this type of a dive are very limited, and I just happen to be lucky enough to be one of them. And this is, I think, the main reason.
You speak of your lung capacity. I understand that it is an abnormally large lung capacity of 7.8 liters, lungs that are the equivalent to the size of a 7-foot giant, and yet you're only about 5'9", right?
That's correct.
Now, exactly how long can you hold your breath?
Well, the longest I have actually and timed it was 6 minutes and 10 seconds. I'd say on an average day, when I'm feeling an average feeling, I'd go 5 minutes or maybe 5.5 minutes.
Does it make you dizzy at all to hold your breath?
No, if I stay long enough, sometimes I get weak, but I never get dizzy or to the point of passing out.
And the physicians have never noticed any brain damage from lack of oxygen or anything?
It's not noticeable, although a physician did tell me one time that every time I did this, I was in voluntary work that I was doing at the time, that I was giving my brain to science a few thousand cells at a time. But I think I understand there's millions of them, so I probably won't miss a few thousand.
Now, that dive that you made took a total of 2 minutes and 6 seconds. That's going down and then coming up again.
Right.
Is there any danger, or was there any danger to you of getting the bends?
No.
Making the ascent so rapidly?
This is something that a lot of people think, but the bends can only be brought on by staying under pressure for a longer length of time and then coming to the surface very rapidly. And this is when you have a problem with the nitrogen bubbles in your system. But on this type of a dive, it's such a rapid dive, you're down, you're back up again, it's no problem. However, my cover divers, we had to watch.
I understand that when you get down deep and you don't see the sunlight and so forth, do you see any light down to 212 feet?
I could make out figures. My buddies that were down there, I could distinguish a form, but I couldn't recognize them.
Did you get at this drunkenness feeling or the feeling of elation or exhilaration? What is it they...
No, this is narcosis, what they call rapture of the deep. I didn't experience this at all. Really, I wasn't at that depth long enough to experience it. However, if I were to stay there maybe 15 or 20 minutes, I probably would have experienced it. But this rapid a dive, why, no.
How does your wife feel about you making these dives?
She gets a little nervous. She's got complete faith in me, and she's quite confident that I can do the things I set out to do, but I think she just has faith in me, that's all. She gets very nervous, though.
Are you planning any new world record attempts?
Yes, I'd like to go after my own record, of course. My ultimate goal is 230 feet, and...
Why 230?
Well, I think I can go this far without any problem. I've broken the 200-foot barrier, which has never been broken other than by the a Greek, and I would like to make it to 2:30 if I can, and I think I can without too much problem.
All right, we'll be looking forward to talking to you again when you've broken that 2:30, Bob Crow.
All right, I'll do that.
Best wishes to you.
Thank you very much.
This is Bill McCord for Monitor Sports.
Monitor Sports every weekend.
It takes a man of high caliber to do Billy Boone's job. He's a human cannonball. Tell me, Billy, how are things down there?
Not so good. I feel half shot.
Here, have some V8. It'll charge you up.
Looks good, like tomato juice.
But it's V8 vegetable juice. V8 gives you the natural goodness of 8 healthful garden vegetables. No single juice can match it.
I still say it looks like tomato juice.
Try V8 and see.
Wow! It sure doesn't taste like tomato juice.
Of course not. It tastes like V8.
Sure gives you lift.
Trombones Unlimited with Dandy. In Trenton, New Jersey, you heard it on WBUD. Wherever you are, stick with us.
Traveling this weekend, take Monitor with you on the NBC Radio Network.
Morgan for Monitor, or vice versa. Coming attractions. Francis Langford talks with Arlene Francis, and vice versa. Orfeo Angelucci tells a strange story of little people from outer space, and vice versa. Inner space music first, The Seekers with Georgie Girl.
Hey there, Georgie Girl, swinging down the street so fancy free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there inside you. Hey there, Georgie Girl, why do all the boys just pass you by? Could it be you just don't try? Or is it the clothes you wear? You're always window shopping, but never stopping to buy. So shed those dowdy feathers and fly a little bit. Hey there, Georgie girl, there's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide.
Next on Monitor, Arlene Francis, brought to you by Orlon 33 Acrylic, the DuPont carpet fiber that never gets tired, and James Lee's Carpets. Here's Arlene.
In 1 minute, my guest will be Frances Langford, who will tell us about her entertainment tour of our military bases in Vietnam. There's a whole new world of liveliness in carpets, and it comes to you from Lee's. Lee's new, big, fat, thick Charlestown carpet. You know that soft, springy feeling most new carpets have? Well, Lee's Charlestown stays springy because it's made with pile of DuPont Orlon 33 acrylic.
springier, bouncier. It's the carpet fiber that's lovelier, springier, livelier. Made my new pond. It's Orlon 33.
Lee's Charlestown, the thick, fat, roly-poly carpet made with Orlon 33 for lasting liveliness. For a lot of good, down-to-earth reasons, choose those heavenly carpets by Lee's.
Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
Francis Langford, in your recent tour of our military bases in the Far East, you did 40 shows in 40 days. You and your husband, Ralph Evinrude, enjoy a very comfortable life here in the United States. What drove you back to the rigors of entertaining our troops in Vietnam?
Well, I've been asked this so many times, and I guess the only thing I can say to that is, why does anyone enlist? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Same feeling.
I think that someone said you described Vietnam as this different and crazy war. What specifically did you mean by that?
You have to see it, actually. Because, as you know, there is no front line. Everything is a front line. You live with the people in the daytime and you don't know it. And then at night they go out and put on those black pajamas and shoot at you. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult for the boys. But I actually think it's brought around a closeness between the enlisted men and the officers, because they all have to be there at all times working together, and they never know when they're going to be shot at.
Mm-hmm.
And the morale seems to be so much better in this war than I've ever seen it.
Can you tell us about some of the American troops you met in Vietnam?
Well, as you know, most of them are kids.
Yeah.
But they were so wonderful. They would tell me that, oh, my dad said he remembers you in World War II or Korea, you know, and it's so wonderful. They like to kid you a little bit about that, you know, about asking for your autograph, and I'd say, you don't even know who I am. He said, well, I want to send it home to my dad.
Yeah.
That was cute.
What about surprises? Was there anything that did catch you absolutely by surprise?
It was almost the same as any other war, actually, except we were outside of Saigon, and we did a rather late show, and we couldn't be picked up by helicopter, so they had to send jeeps out to pick us up, and they're not supposed to travel at night. So they picked us up, and the jeeps had machine guns in front and back, and they were traveling along at night, you know, and nothing happened. It was very nice. So I asked why, and he said, well, we were shot at coming up here. I said, well, things look pretty normal now. He says, well, that's because they were all up at your show.
That's funny.
You just never know.
You don't know who you're entertaining.
If you don't sing the right song or tell the right joke, you just may get it. And well, Bob said that's the only difficulty he had. He was afraid he might say the wrong thing.
Oh, that's funny. Well, you got back, so I guess you didn't sing the wrong thing. But when you returned to the United States, I understand that you spent days telephoning the families of the servicemen you met during the tour. What did you talk about to them? Tell them how the boys looked? And
well, it's kind of hard to talk to them because they don't believe you at first, you know.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I said, this is Francis Langford. And I said, yeah. I said, well, do you have a husband in Vietnam? She says, yes. She said, are you Francis Langford? I said, yes, I am, and I saw your husband. And he wanted me to call and give you his love. And some of them wrote notes, and I had to read these little love notes, you know, and it was just wonderful.
Thank you, Francis, for sharing some of your experiences in Vietnam with us. My guest has been Francis Langford. Did I mention that Lee's now has five different carpet textures made from pile of springy Orlon 33 acrylic by DuPont? Well, these are carpet textures that you can't appreciate till you see and touch them.
Springier, bouncier, it's the carpet fiber that's livelier. Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
These five, all made with Orlon 33 acrylic, are just five more heavenly carpets by Lee's.
Listen later today when Orlon 33 from DuPont and James Lee's carpets again present Arlene Francis. Mr. Jones, neat lady.
Lady, you're in love today, but what about your broken heart tomorrow? Why waste all your loveliness on someone if he really doesn't care? Let me take you in my arms and let me love you tenderly. And you'll see all the joys of life you never found before you'll find with me. Lady, take my love today and let me give you a happiness forever. Every day you wait, a little love we could be sharing slips away. Why find out too late that what you thought was love was just a brief fantasy? I'm in love with you, so lovely lady, won't you fall in love with me?
Kazan sings in 1 minute on the Monitor Beacon.
This is your NBC Monitor. This is your NBC Monitor. This is your station, the pulse of the nation. It's NBC.
Morgan, still ticking at 13 before the hour. Lenny Kazan sings Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye.
That we kiss tomorrow goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye. Just kiss tomorrow goodbye. Don't cry, I beg you, accept the surprise. Goodbye, goodbye. Don't try to ask me why. Don't cry. Thank you.
Project Blue Book is the name the Air Force has given to the records they keep on UFOs, unidentified flying objects. They began keeping track 20 years ago. Since then, they've logged 11,107. Of those, only 676 remain in the unidentified category. The year past, 66, was the second biggest year for UFOs, or UFOs. The record number of reports was in 1952.
This is Long John Neville, reporting for Monitor. Angelucci is such a delightful man. Of course, I don't buy the story myself. But why should I tell you any more about it? I want you to listen to it. And I'll let you in on a secret. I don't think you'll ever forget it. Because Orfeo Angelucci believes it really happened. And it may have. You won't forget it.
I entered the door, and at the table nearest the door was a very, very handsome man. And as I approached, he says, "Greetings, Orfeo. Sit down." And I said, "You have a third glass here. Is someone with you?" He looked at the glass, and he was surprised. He said, "I don't know how that happened. I only ordered two glasses." He asked me to order. Then he asked me if I wanted a bottle of beer. I said, "No, not tonight." So he says, "Good." He lifted the pitcher of water from the table and poured it into my glass. Then he went into his pocket, and he said, "Then how about some of the best champagne in the world?" He took out a little pellet and dropped it in my glass, and it started to fizzle like his own. So he told me to call him nothing but Adam. Two months ago, he had discovered he had 9 months to live. He had cancer, and it was incurable. Anyhow, he says, "Eat up. Let's dine and just get acquainted for the time being." I noticed that his glass was filling itself with water, but no one had poured it in there. So we went on for a while, and as the dessert approached, I heard music coming from the glass. It was subdued music. He said, "Wait a minute. On this picture here, the water was up to this black spot. Now it's down here." He said, "But the pellet." He went in his pocket, and he says, "Wait, I'm supposed to have four." He took out the pellets, and only three. He said, "What they were doing was sublimating the water, or evaporating it from the pitcher into the glass by remote control, and sublimated the pellet in his pocket over into the glass so that no one ever actually saw the process." Of course, I know now that he had had either experience with space visitors or that he himself was one. And then I looked up at him and I noticed that he was looking now intently into the glass. He had a little smile on his face, yet tears were streaming down his eyes, landing right on the table before him. I thought, "God, what is it that he is going on?" And I looked at the glass, and now there was the figure of a girl dancing in it with blonde hair. A little miniature woman, just dancing to the music, and the music itself became more spirited as she danced. I never saw such dancing before. I thought, "Well, Adam is either recalling someone or he's had an experience out of this world, literally out of this world." When she disappeared, she never looked at me. She always looked toward him. But in the finale, when the music ended with a crash, she suddenly whirled and went on her knee and looked toward me. But she had a very grim aspect on her face, as though to say, "You don't know now, but you soon know why and what Adam is experiencing now." And with that gesture, that is when she got down on her knee, bowed like in a curtsy, and a grim look toward me, as much as to tell me, "You too will know what Adam is now experiencing someday," she completely disappeared. That was the end of the dance, and the music ceased.
This is Long John Neville, reporting for Monitor.
Thank you, Long John, for the modern version of Little Women.
Got along without you before, I bet you're gonna get along without you now. Gonna find somebody twice as cute, 'cause you didn't love me anyhow. You ran around with every boy in town, and you never cared if it got me down. You had me worried, always on my guard, but you laughed at me 'cause I tried too hard. Boom, 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 gonna get along without you now. Woo! along without you. Before I met you, gonna get along without you now. Gonna find somebody twice as cute, but you didn't love me anyhow. I lost my money and I lost my pride. Didn't have much money, but I really tried. It made you happy when you made me cry. And you broke my heart, so I said goodbye. Boom, 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 boom. Gonna get along without you now. Boom, 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 boom. Gonna get along without you now. Boom, 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 boom. Gonna get along without you now.
Gonna get along without you now, Trini Lopez.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I like the taste. Simple as that.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
I think everybody who smokes should try a lark.
There's nothing, nothing, nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark today.
Great smoke, bright eye chains.
Hey, there's nothing like a lark.
Have a lark today.
There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
Bert Bacharach and Nikki, Morgan and Monitor. NBC News on the Hour is next, and we'll be back.
Six members of the President's Commission on Law Enforcement will meet the press in a 90-minute special tonight on the NBC Radio Network.